Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WIP Morning Show. It is a Tuesday morning in the Delaware Valley, and I'm just going to tell you that this is a monstrous day if you're a sports fan in this town. It's a monstrous day. And I want to start the show by making sure our listeners do not make a mistake. Do not go to work till after 10, if at all. Because our show is too good for you to miss any of today. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. What a show we're about to start here. 7 o'clock. Is there a more provocative, annoying, and interesting man than Howard Eskin?
Annoying, for sure.
Thank you. That's why I threw a lot of adjectives in. I figured one would fit.
Yeah.
He'll be on at 7 to talk about the current situation with the Sixers.
Yeah.
And about our guest at 9:30, which I'll get to shortly.
Okay.
At 8 o'clock, Al, preeminent columnist in this town and a man that I'm going to grill.
Okay.
Because I found him to be too damn positive recently.
Oh.
And I am going to talk philosophy.
Philosophy.
With Inquirer columnist Mike Sielski.
Philosophy.
Yeah, going back over the last 10 columns. Kid likes everybody.
Well, the Sixers are in the playoffs.
Kid likes everybody.
The Phillies are doing
positive.
Sports columnist in this town. Shouldn't like anybody.
Well.
Go after all of them. Hold them accountable. 8:25, Al. You know how many Penn Staters we have on the current roster right now?
4.
Just added 4 drafts, undrafted free agents. We're going to bring on the head coach of the Penn State Nittany Lions, James Franklin.
Oh, oh, nice. Cool.
And here's another thing, Al. I didn't know this. Rhea found this out. He was the wide receiver coach with the Packers in 05 when Brett Favre was there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he can explain to us how Favre never got hurt. Wentz can't stay healthy. Maybe he knows how that happened. All right, anyway, he'll be out at 8:25. 9 o'clock in studio, the vivacious wife of Jason Kelce. They got an autism initiative that we're going to help with. But I'm going to find out from her how close Jason was from walking away. Because there were a lot of stories that he was retiring. Kylie would know.
Yep.
And what was her advice? Does she, like, my wife's advice to our retirement is, keep working.
Yeah, you're not
my wife
get hurt.
Has no desire for me to retire.
No,
and I wonder if she's on that side or if she goes, "No, Jason, you know what? More time with you will be fun." My wife never feels that way.
No, you're not gonna get hurt.
And then the pièce de résistance at 9:30, Al, a sudden injection of genius into this show, in the personage of Mr. Howie Roseman. The man in charge of personnel for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I got a lot of good stuff to ask Howie. Oh, I got a lot of good stuff. And I'm going to save my Wentz stuff for near the end because he's probably not going to want to deal with that. He's going to have to. He's coming on. Got to ask a couple of things about that. Anyway, all that's going on. In addition, Al, can you imagine if in the midst of this latest health crisis, Joel Embiid were on Jeopardy against that guy that never loses?
The guy that wins millions of
How would that sound? You'll find out in our 7 o'clock hour as we give you a whole new Joe Conklin version of Jeopardy. We got all of that. Great giveaways today. And tonight is the biggest game of the year. Maybe a lot of years. Maybe a lot of years tonight is. Because coming off that horrendous Game 4 loss, Hollis, what's that like when everybody thought you were going to win?
Yep.
People were actually taking it for granted.
Yeah.
The crowd wasn't nearly as electrified as they were in Game 3. Everybody thought we had it.
Yeah, I was actually at both of those games.
You were?
Yeah.
So you knew the difference, right? Could you feel the difference?
You could actually feel the difference because the ball starts wasn't really bouncing our way in any of the plays in Game 4. And in game three, it was electric because everything was going our way. The ball was bouncing our way. Then you get out there and
I don't please don't use the term ball bouncing our way.
What would I say, bouncing
out? You bounce it yourself.
No.
There's always somebody to blame when you lose.
Well, okay, I guess you can blame the guys who are missing the shots.
Oh, yeah? I plan to. Now, I'm not going to blame, at least not to the extent that the Daily News is, Tobias Harris.
I mean, come on.
Tobias Harris, Al, is singled out as the number one reason they lost.
Stop it.
He stunk.
Yeah.
He was 2-for-13 for three-point range.
Blaming Tobias Harris is like blaming Golden Tate for last year.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
I mean, it's,
you're right.
That's
a perfect analogy. Perfect analogy, Rhea. But obviously, I'm going to start with the most important thing, Al.
What's that?
How is Joel? Mm-hmm. Let's get an update from Brett Brown.
I cannot update any news on Joel at this time.
I'm sorry? Well, I need to know. The game's tonight.
I cannot update any news on Joel at this time.
Did he text you? Well, actually, I texted about 6:20 on Sunday, so he might not text him for a few more minutes. But
yeah, 15
by the way, that's another thing we have this morning. Hmm. If you missed the Stephen A. Smith rant about the text and Joel Embiid, oh, you're going to get it in this hour.
Outstanding.
And Al, Stephen A. Smith is one of the great American humorists.
Right.
No, I'm not kidding. This stuff is so funny. And yet he's doing it while screaming. It's phenomenal. All right. So anyway, we don't know about Joel. That would be annoying, right, Hollis?
Yes,
if you're playing the biggest game of the season and the franchise player, we don't know what his situation is now. What's his latest problem?
Yeah,
that is getting ridiculous, isn't it?
It's getting ridiculous mainly because it's not nothing like injuries.
Right.
It's like his stomach. It's like, come on, dude, just eat right.
Come on, dude. Stop it. All right. Anyway, there's a lot now. There's a lot that's going on since the game on Sunday, and it seemed like the coach didn't care about any of it. In fact, the coach, Al, had an extraordinarily blasé approach to Game 5.
Mm-hmm.
At a time when his top playoff player, Jimmy Butler, is screaming for aggressiveness, the coach sounds like he's just kind of back in a rope-a-dope. Right? Here's what he had. Al, 35 minutes he used Embiid with the problems he had.
I don't even
know what the hell. Virus,
whatever.
Fine. He played him 35 minutes, and it was clear in the last few minutes that Embiid really was awful.
So bad
he couldn't hit a free throw.
Yeah.
Which Embiid always a great free throw shooter.
He was exhausted.
So there has been an argument over the past, let's say, 24 hours that Brown didn't use him right. That Brown didn't save him for the end of the game when he needed him the most. Brown carefully assessed that, and here's what he decided.
I'm sort of a recipient of the news I get from our medical staff and dealing with Joel just person to person about how much he can give, how long he can go. I think that the people around Joel, led by Joel, I think that we played him to the level that we should have.
All right. Do I look stupid to you?
No, not really.
Okay, good. Because, see, a doctor goes to, and you go, all right, he's got a cold.
Mm-hmm.
He's throwing up.
Right.
I don't know what his problems is. How long should I play him? And the doctors say 35 minutes. Doctors never are that specific.
No, they're not.
You go to a doctor, Al, they go 2 to 6 weeks rehab. They never say, you know what, go right to the 35 mark, Brett, and you'll be fine.
She probably said 20.
Come on. What the hell is that? Do I look stupid to you? That, Al, does it sound like he addressed the Joel thing at all?
He doesn't know.
Does it sound like he has in any way addressed one of the biggest problems of Game 4, the 11-point performance of his franchise player? Does he have a handle on it?
No.
Has no handle on
there it. There is no handle.
I need a handle.
What the
I like a handle. It's Game 5. It's 2-2. I need a handle.
The only handle he has is don't play him.
Give me a handle.
Don't play him.
All right, I don't like your attitude.
Well, that's the handle. If that's if you can't count on somebody and you're going to get hurt of him during a game, you don't play him and let somebody else step up to the moment.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't like his attitude, Rhea.
You need a handle?
No, you got to say here. Well, it's not going to change.
That's what you asked me.
Say with him. When did his attitude ever change?
Never.
All right, it doesn't sound like we've addressed the Embiid thing, but that's okay, Al, because a bigger issue to me is Ben Simmons.
Yes.
Ben Simmons, when he needed to do aggressive things in the close finish of that game, turtled up. Am I misreading that, House? No, you were there.
He shrunk.
He shrunk
big time.
He shrunk from the moment.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see how Brett Al took a lot of time analyzing that. He looked at the tape.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see what he said.
I've just finished watching the game. There were a few times, you know, like maybe he could have gone a step further or tried to draw contact either with a strong finish or a dunk. I don't think it's anything that's bothersome.
All right, now, it's not bothersome, Al. It bothered me.
Bothered Jimmy Butler.
Well, I'm about to play that. So it's not bothersome, but his new leader, this guy 2 months ago wasn't on the team, and now he's the vocal leader of the team. Hollis, that's not good, is it? None of you guys that have been there, and Bede's been there 5 years. He's not the leader. Ben has been there a couple of years. He's damn well not the leader. He's so blasé, he still thinks he's on the West Coast with Kendall Jenner.
He's the only one with pedigree and confidence to step up.
They don't. Those guys have no. They don't have a resume. Yeah.
Now, so Brett looked at the tape very carefully. Mm. He went, there's a player or two, but no, he did fine. Everything's good, right? Mm. Here's Jimmy Butler, who's on the court with the guy. Listen to what he said.
I told Ben every time down the floor to attack. Every single time. I'm cool with if coach calls a play and you feel like you got the mismatch, by all means, attack. You have to be ready to attack at any point in time. Damn sure in transition. He has a ball in transition. Ben, don't pass the ball in transition. Attack every single time. That's how we're going to win this game.
Does that sound like the same message your coach gave?
No.
So who's right?
Butler.
Butler's right.
No, it's clear. Ben's
Butler
afraid
is
to
right.
Do that.
Ben is afraid to do it for two reasons. One is he doesn't want the pressure, and two is if he gets fouled, he's going to miss the free throws in big games, and that he's going to be the GOAT. Isn't that what's going on?
Yes.
Anybody want to read it differently?
No.
So here's what we got, just so you know where we are. Butler is sending out exactly the right message to Ben Simmons. Damn it, it's game five. I've seen this guy play aggressively. He's phenomenal.
Exactly.
But he turtles up. He'll play an aggressive game. Somebody will inspire him for 10 minutes, and then he'll shrink back down to what he was. Yeah. So Butler clearly has a different message than Brown. Then Brown took a minute to tell us how great a leader Butler is. Listen to this.
The emerging leadership and ownership of our program and his role in this organization, his role in this city is timely. I've said before, I'll say it again, I think that how he sort of approaches the game, there's a physicality, there's a passion, there's a toughness. It mirrors the city of Philadelphia. I think he's a perfect fit for this city.
Yeah, he is and you're not. the way he just described it, the physicality, the aggressiveness, all that stuff. He said he's a perfect fit for the city. Yeah, he is. And you're not. And your message is not that at all. Am I right here?
No, he's trying.
Does he realize that his message stinks in this city and Butler's message is perfect?
Unless he's telling Butler
to
Simmons.
To play the bad guy?
Unless he's got a pretty good relationship with Simmons. I'm sure he's hammering him about this.
He is.
Well, you have to. I believe he's going to be the best player on the floor tonight.
All right, hold on. I don't think he's hammering him at all. I don't think he's hammering him in the least. Because all he does when Ben's name comes up is tell you how great he is.
Yeah.
Listen, here's more. Listen to this.
The growth of Ben this year from a coaching perspective has been significant. His work ethic, putting in extra time. I think that his attention to detail on knowing your opponent, his growth as a leader and as our point guard has been significant.
Yeah, yeah, he's cracking down on him, all right.
Well, I mean, I think...
We have just discovered something amazing already today. Butler fits Philadelphia and Brown doesn't. Butler's message is perfect for the city. Brown stinks.
But Brown's fits with a large segment of the population.
Well, I understand the process for that whole crap. I get that. Hollis, whose message is better?
Butler.
All right, and are they the similar messages, him and Brown's?
Hell no. Butler's message is plain and simple. We are better when Ben attacks. The coach is beating around us. The coach is the one who's supposed to be slamming his message home, not the player.
I don't think he's got Ben on the side and he's yelling at him.
No. No, he won't yell, but no. I think he's going to have to change the game.
Firmly. I don't think he is.
He didn't fix anything
from Sunday.
Because what he's got to fix is Simmons thinking that the A on the score sheet is the most important thing.
Right.
And it's not.
All right. Who would like a beautiful dinner at Del Frisco's? I bet you would love that.
Me.
I got a $100 gift certificate. I got, oh, man, the stuff I got on here, Al. I got, for Mother's Day, a one-hour facial handed stone. Oh. I got tickets to Lenny Kravitz. Great show coming out. The Who, amazing show later this month. I got, and here's what I want to do. Al, today is National Beverage Day.
Beverage.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, we have come up, Ava and I are together. We've worked on this together. The five finest beverages you could have.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's a wide field.
Mm. Yeah.
You could go with some basic stuff. You could go with some hardcore stuff. Hmm. You pick the beverage. You're in the top five. You're getting one of the prizes today. Awesome. Top five beverages on National Beverage Day. All right. By the way, I'm not using her list. I just saw it. It stinks. Oh, my God. Look at number five.
After you gave her number five.
What the hell's wrong with her?
Is there something wrong with her? After you gave her the confidence to go make the list?
Not only confidence, I gave it $300 for the game. And look at this crappy. Is that a crappy list? I think there's one on there you like. Look at the last two. Unsweetened and sugar-free are the last two items.
The sugar-free.
Your list stinks.
That's what I always get.
The sugar-free one?
What?
Well, I don't want to say it because it'll be unsweet.
Okay. No, I do. I get the same thing.
But you get unsweet.
Yeah, I get the sugar-free
one. Most people do all the time.
That's great. Well, you know what?
It's
probably got stuff in it that's worse than what you had.
This right here is good.
I enjoy a really sugary soft drink.
No, not this one. This is horrible.
Which one?
This was good without
it. That's putrid.
It's delicious.
Well, you know what? That's bad for
you. It'll cool you off on a hot summer day.
All right, stop it, Holmes. 888-729-9495. I'm getting word, Al. There may be an update on MB. What do we got, Joe?
I cannot update any news on Joel at this time.
At this time, it's the day of the game.
I won't be able to stop playing my updates.
You'll hear that many times.
It'll be a non-update in the update.
Gather my people around for press conference so I can give you no information. 888. Maybe he could have checked with somebody. I don't know. Just thought. 888-729-9494. What's the best thing to drink? No holds barred. No exclusions. What's the best thing to drink? For prizes today, jump on board and tell me how you feel before the biggest game in many years. Sixers-Raptors tonight, Toronto, 8 p.m. WIP Sports Time, 6:16.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.